know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday. And in case you don't know what that means, it means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. SmackDown After Show. And have we got a show for you? I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Glenn and Jimmy. Jimmy, you are dressed for a war tonight.
Yeah, I dressed for the occasion. I don't normally do the SmackDown post show, but guess what? I'm here this week and I broke it out.
So that means, Glenn, we're going to have a match of some kind. It's only respectful.
And you guys could have told me I have a blue shirt. I could have put that on as well. Like, we could have coordinated this.
This is my way of sucking up to the ref. I feel like more people, you know, everyone is always trying to give the ref a hard time. I would go the other route. I would suck up to the ref, make them want to count in my favor.
Yeah, Jimmy, did anyone ever pull a Tony D'Angelo with you and try and palm you like a 20 so get yourself a little something nice?
Not really. The closest I got to getting a payoff was that Royal Rumble where Kane went to chokeslam Drew Carey. And all that money fell on the ring mat, and you could see me in the background scooping it all up because I didn't know was it given to him to use it in the match or anything. So I just kept it in my pocket till I went to the back, and when I got to the back, I said, "Here, guys, it's all here. Trust me, count it."
I'd have kept it in my pocket till I got to the bank.
Yeah. Wait, was it actual cash? They weren't using prop money?
No, that was cash.
Wow.
That's why I scooped it all up, because I grabbed the one. I thought maybe it was the old JBL bills, $100.
Yeah.
I thought, and I looked at it, I went, oh my goodness, this is real cash. This is US dollars. In Canadian, it's much more. I would have taken it. But
I like to imagine that as you handed it to Vince in the back, he did the meme where he smells it. So we got a big show. This is fun. I don't get to cover SmackDown very often. Neither does Jimmy. Glenn, I don't think this three. Has this three ever been a trios before? Is this a new?
No, we've done this maybe together. Not SmackDown, though.
No.
Oh, well, not first time ever, folks. Don't get the history books out. Nothing to see here.
Don't ask me, because I barely remember anything. Ask my wife.
Well, yeah, let's talk about some news here. We got some news that happened, and I guess I'm going to start with some news that was happening like live as we were on the air. Not as we were on the air, SmackDown was on the air. By the way, like, comment, share, subscribe if you can. That would do us a big favor. But it appears that some releases are happening over at WWE. Fightful had tweeted out that Jinder, Xia Li, and Zion Quinn have all been released. Jimmy, this was literally happening as we were coming on the air. I don't really have details on this. And I mean, Frank, I haven't been able to verify much other than Fightful being pretty reliable with this kind of stuff. Kind of shocking, right?
It is shocking and it is sad, because you don't want to see anybody lose their job at all. You know, I get it's a business, and at times, sometimes you have to treat it like a business. And unfortunately, somebody has to take the heat for it. It's not heat here. There's no heat on any of those talents. I'm not saying it that way. It's coming out wrong. It's just, you know, like I'm saying, it's a business, and sometimes you have to let people go. For whether it's cost-cutting measures, whatever the case may be, it's the nature of the beast. And it's always been like that, and it's an unfortunate part of our business.
Yeah, Glenn, I agree with Jimmy. It's always sad when you hear someone lost their job, regardless, especially a job like one at WWE, which is frankly the dream for a lot of people. I do look at these wrestlers and think that they're all people who I could see landing on their feet. Jinder is a former world champion, big dude. I think anyone signing him gets a star on their hands. Xia Li, I could see absolutely blowing up in TNA in their women's division and standing out there. And Zion Quinn, young, good-looking dude. I mean, he's got everything you want. I think that this might be an opportunity for them to show what they can do somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, are we forgetting that Jinder Mahal launched The Rock's return that led to that historic WrestleMania match?
Right. I mean, this one actually really shocked me. I thought for sure Jinder was a lifer. I thought he was one of those guys that I didn't expect him to be on TV every week, but you know, there's just certain people that they're just with WWE forever. I was shocked that his name was listed here.
Yeah. It's odd, right? And it's weird that they did this, that this is breaking right after SmackDown goes off the air. Normally this happens on kind of a quiet day, not a day they have shows. Mm-hmm. Like this, I mean, but granted, it's a new era. It's the Triple H era. Oh, isn't that a weird Triple H era? Like, we used to cut you from the comfort of your home, but now we want you to come enjoy catering, and we want to give you a chance to say goodbye to everyone in person. We shake your hand and have a security escort you out the building.
Well, as Manish says, Jinder has had the last two segments against The Rock and Seth Rollins. Those were his last ones there.
I will say this, to Glenn's point, I don't think it was as terrible as that is escorting them out the door. But if it was the fact that they want to bring him in and just say it to them face to face, as opposed to getting a text or a phone call, I got to tip my hat off to them for doing it that way and doing it in person, as opposed to, the Phantom pick up your phone one day and all of a sudden, by the way, this is talent relations and creative's got nothing for you. So we're letting you go.
Let me ask you this, Jimmy. So would you prefer, obviously you live in Canada, would you prefer to get on a plane and fly out to Pittsburgh? I guess that's not too terrible of a flight for you, but and like fly out somewhere and then get this news as opposed to just not having to leave but in person? I know it sounds silly, but like,
no,
it's like a real thing. Like there is a little, like, I agree. There's a level of like, I'm doing this face to face versus phone, but then there's also a little bit of like, dude, why did I leave if this is what I'm getting?
No, I get that point because you are on the road so many days a week and it is a hectic schedule. Not as I say, bad as it was back in the day, but it still is fairly hectic for the guys that travel. But at the same time, I find it more respectful to do it. It's like it's like any corporation. If you're being let go, they call you into the office and the boss lets you know, I'm sorry, we have to let you go.
I mean,
so I get both sides of the coin, but for my personal standpoint, I find it a little more respectful to do it to ask the person to come so we can talk face to face and I can maybe give you reasons as to why this is happening.
Yeah. On the flip side, when I worked at CNET at Game Center, I had what on a good day was a 45-minute commute into San Francisco. We got told, we're having a big meeting tomorrow morning, and I'm rushing. It took me an hour and a half to get to work. I went through traffic. I had to take alternate routes. I get there to walk in on the meeting where we're all being laid off, and they're shutting down our division. And I was like, you could have just sent an email or called me. Like, yeah. I didn't have to go through all these hoops to get here.
CNET sounds like the company that built a Terminator machine, but we
similar but different.
That's of course, best of luck to them. And again, hopefully the end of.
Yeah. And one last thing on this subject too, like not to disagree again with Glenn, but again, you also get to see your road crew, your road buddies that you don't get to see. If you get that phantom phone call, when's the next time you're going to see everyone and thank them and say, I appreciate, being on the road with you guys.
That is true. You get the chance to have like drinks after the show or like say goodbye to people as opposed to, I guess I'm just never going to
see you down the road again. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Brett punching he who must not be named anymore. Maybe that kind of put a damper on face-to-face delivering bad news or conversations.
I will say something that's interesting, Glenn, because we talk about it being after SmackDown and the TKO merger. I wonder if, famously, a lot of layoffs happen Friday nights.
Sure.
And I wonder if TKO corporate is like, this is when we do it. Oh, so like yeah. maybe on there, they're not even thinking about the fact there's a TV show or anything like that. Maybe on there, and they're just like, oh yeah, this is typically how you do it Friday night.
Oh, every time I check my email on a Friday afternoon, I'm just like, who's firing me? What's happening? Are they, am right. I booted from the podcast? Like, what's going on? Like, yeah, nothing good happens on a Friday evening except this podcast.
This is the only thing in life that's good, folks. You heard it here first. We have some big, not big news, but some, I think some news that bit polarizing here. AEW head Tony Khan reacts to a warning he got from the Oklahoma State Athletic Commission earlier this week. News emerged that the Oklahoma State Athletic Commission had sent a warning to All Elite Wrestling after the company had violated its ban on intergender wrestling. In particular, OSAC raised issues with a December 20th, 2023 match between Nyla Rose and transgender wrestler Alejandra Leon, a cisgender wrestler. As a result, the OSAC has threatened to take punitive action if AEW sanctions another match between a transgender and cisgender athlete in the state of Oklahoma. On the AEW Dynasty media call, AEW president Tony Khan addressed the Oklahoma State Athletic Commission's warning, asserting that he and the entire AEW family firmly support and embrace Nyla Rose. Went on to say he was disappointed with the commission's position and that he didn't think that they did anything wrong, and that he was really, really shocked by it. Also went on to say that he stands by Nyla Rose and AEW stands behind Nyla Rose and all transgender people who want to play sports. If you want to see the full quote, obviously you can check that out at Wrestling Inc. Glenn, I always feel like it's tricky to get into politics, political conversations on this show, not because I don't want to have those conversations, but because I always feel like people are better equipped to talk about it than I am. But that said, I absolutely, for whatever it's worth, back AEW in this. I think that Nyla Rose is great, and I think that she should be allowed to wrestle whoever she wants. It's professional wrestling, and she has my support, if whatever that means anything. Do you have any thoughts on this situation?
I mean, it's interesting to me that, you know, I have friends, colleagues, acquaintances with all sorts of different ideological beliefs, and because this is the world of professional wrestling, I'm actually pleasantly surprised that everyone seems to be on the same page about this, that in the world of professional wrestling, there is no reason for this to be called out or made an issue for Nyla to wrestle whoever AEW wants to book her against. But I will say that this just sort of really underscores that, you know, if one didn't know better, they would think that this commission and the state, there are some people that, because of their ideological viewpoint, want to ostracize or make transgender wrestlers feel like less accepted, less normalized, and feel like the other. And this strikes me as a very naked, punitive move on their part, just to take a shot rather than actually having some sort of real issue with this match in the world of sports entertainment.
Yeah, I agree. I always say too, as a Blue Chew says, do they know? I feel like, especially with professional wrestling, which is, I always say, is kind of comic book, in the sense, if I was watching a Marvel movie and I saw a female superhero beat up a male hero or whatever,
Wonder Woman did it all the time.
It's totally fine. This is one of those things that I guess for me reminds me that there's a lot of battles that people go through that sometimes we forget people are battling through. And so it's always good to be supportive of one another. Jimmy, you obviously have lived the life of the pro wrestling world. Do you have any thoughts on this situation that AEW is going through?
First and foremost, I didn't actually know that that edict was in place in the state of Oklahoma. That shocked me when I first read it. And when I didn't even know that law existed or that rule, whatever you want to call it. But like you said, coming from the world of sports entertainment / pro wrestling, this isn't anything new. You know, intergender matches have happened in the past. There is intergender interaction nowadays as well, to some extent. It was never ostracized. I use China as an example, who used to fight men all the time.
Oh, I thought you meant the country. Sorry. Yes, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. You know, so I don't see an issue here. Obviously, somebody there does, whatever their problems is. I don't like to politicize things because that's what pro wrestling was good at, taking politics out of the equation and letting people just enjoy and relax and take in what they're watching as entertainment, because that's what it is. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And, you know, and I will have to give a tip of the hat again to Tony Khan. You know, nobody's been more critical of Tony Khan than I have on this on any of my platforms. Mm-hmm. And I will say hats off to you for sticking up for Nyla Rose and doing what is right and being a boss and yeah. finally taking charge. So yeah. kudos and, to him.
And being a boss in a very tough way where you're having to sort of take some heat from a government official, not a favorite, not a fun move for anybody. So,
well, and just yeah. to be clear, Jimmy, I just want to make this clear for anyone who's tuning in, doesn't know the whole story. This was not an intergender match. This was Nyla Rose, who mm-hmm. happens to be trans, wrestling right. a cisgender woman. It's, I mean, Oklahoma is being punitive by trying to call this an intergender match. Like right. They're using that as almost as a mean way to demean yeah. Nyla, which is really messed up, in my mm-hmm. opinion.
No, yeah. no, I agree. I wasn't trying to.
No, I just wanted to make it clear for anyone.
No, but no, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah. So I think now's a good time to say, go support, your favorite wrestlers, regardless of who they are. And particularly the ones who, maybe could use a little bit of support, when the world can be so cruel to them. Mm-hmm. Speaking nice of a cruel say. World, Sheamus had some people on Twitter who were, joking around about the shape he came back in. And, he kind of let everyone know that, hey, I get it. You were joking around about me. He said it was his bad. He didn't think he was supposed to come back until the draft, but he's been sleeping in the gym. Jimmy, this is one of those things where I'm kind of like, it's Twitter is a kind of a, like social media can be about like, hey, we're kind of talking about things we see, whatever. Everyone wants to have a hot take or whatever, but there are real people we're talking about on Twitter. And it's so funny to me that the shape that Sheamus came back in reality, is the shape people would kill to be in, but they're making fun of him. And it's just, I think it's just a moment people need to step back and be like, you know how fit that dude is? It's crazy. I don't know.
I don't get the body shaming thing at all, especially considering I saw the split screen on the old Twitter machine. And to me, the side where they were poking fun at looked a little bit doctored to me, because yeah. that wasn't the same Sheamus I saw on Monday night. No, he wasn't the guy that we saw on the left-hand side, the shredded ripped Sheamus, but he was still in great shape. And he delivered, and he had his air, he had his wind. He was able to go and last in a very good match against Ivar. Those guys, some big heavy shots, some big dudes really laying it in. And I just, this whole wanting to shame people, publicly shame people on Twitter, I mean, I just don't get it. I really don't. I mean, sometimes I get, you know, called out on certain things, and my bad for trying to retort. I do it to entertain myself, not to try and combat anybody. It's because I'm not a combative nature. I'm trying to, mm-hmm. I'm actually having fun myself doing it. And people don't get that. They think, oh, look at, I'm getting under his skin. Dude, no, you're not. My skin's a lot thicker than you think it is. Mm-hmm. You can't upset me. The only way you can upset me is say something about my family. Then we're going to have a beef.
It depends on the family member. If someone has a pointed criticism of some of the people I'm related to, I'll hear them out.
Yeah.
Jeff Bailey says, if Sheamus is in bad shape, we're all in trouble.
I hate to say it, but then I'm doing horribly.
Manish said, Sheamus might be more fit than the people sending those tweets. Ethan says, I wish I was in as bad a shape as Sheamus. And then Fernando bringing it home with, the man came off a serious injury. I mean, that's the thing too. And I don't know how young some of these people are, Glenn. I actually don't know how old anyone on this show is, but as you get older, you start to realize that, man, it's tough, Glenn.
Yeah. Oh like, yeah.
I mean, I slept weird and my day was, was difficult. I can only imagine.
Oh, you're at that age now, Jack. Welcome. Welcome to this phase of your life.
Mm-hmm. I was at the doctor the other day actually for my ears, and they're like, you know, there's like, you check off, like, are there any issues? And it said, back pain. And I was like, I checked that and they're like, oh, you have back pain. What's wrong? I was like, oh no, it's not like I hurt myself. I'm just,
yeah,
I think I'm just getting to an age.
Wait, Jack, wait till you get to the age when you go to the bathroom and you have to go number one in Morse code.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I'm just gonna say this because I want to save anybody from the 5 years of sleeping trouble that I had and aches and pains and whatnot. We went through, and we don't have any sponsors in this category, so this is fine, but we went through every single mattress in a box. We went through Casper, Purple, Helix, tried them all, and they were okay, and sometimes they were good at first, but you know what? We finally just dropped the money on a split sleep number bed so my wife can have her side, I can have my side, we can do the different inclines, the different firmness, softness, that and a good noise machine, the Better Sleep app. Like, yeah. Finally, after 5 years, my sleep is finally back on track.
I can sleep well, I just don't wake up well.
Yeah, no, but it's the quality of your sleep. It's the quality of your sleep. And I'll just recommend to anyone, the simplest thing you could do, the Better Sleep app is like, I think there's a free trial. I recommend that. That alone, because you can customize your mix of white noise, brown noise, green noise. Like, that really helped. But yeah, just that, being able to dial in settings, like, oh my God. Now, yeah, I'm not in constant pain in the morning anymore, Jack. It's wonderful.
Glenn, do you think that AJ Styles and Randy Orton spoiled us on the way people look when they come back?
Absolutely. And Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley is the same age as me.
Bobby Lashley, I kid you, you could take a picture. If you show me a picture of him today and from when he debuted, I could not tell you which one's which.
Yeah.
Except it's
whether or not he's wearing a headband in the in the picture.
Yeah. And I happened to run into Billy Gunn at WrestleMania.
Oh, my
week.
God.
And yeah. whatever diet he's on, please sign me up.
Yeah.
I still say great. Billy Gunn for AEW champion. I'm backing that horse all the way.
He's consistently looked just great shape, everything. And that's the thing, man. It's weird to like body shame a wrestler. And you know, my issue, and because it's come up on this podcast from time to time, I don't like when WWE body shames its own talent, when they put like Otis in those ridiculous situations. Like, that's demeaning in my opinion, but that's not on Otis, that's on WWE, you know, having him carry a ham sandwich and his Money in the Bank briefcase. Like, that's them being dicks, you know.
Right.
But Donnie G in the chat, by the way, says Lashley is a vampire.
That would be the gimmick.
I got a funny story. I get a wrestler story. I had the chance to chat with Bobby Lashley one time and asked him about this. My colleague, Mac, asked him, are you a vampire? And he said, no, I am an alien. So Lashley is not a vampire. He claims he is an alien. That is the secret
sauce.
Or
is he angling for the next movie role in an alien flick?
Maybe. But maybe. I don't think they make aliens as strong as Bobby Lashley.
I don't think so. But that's the funny thing. It's the day and age of where a wrestler has to have a 6-pack or an 8-pack and 24-inch pythons, brother, is gone. It's, you know, there are all kinds types of body shapes. So what now? Because Rey Mysterio is a shorter guy, you don't buy into him. You know, it makes no sense to me.
Tug Graf saying, get out. Jack has had an alien encounter. Apparently so. it would be, I could imagine, like, you're watching one of those movies where it's like all the little classic skinny aliens with the big heads, and one of them's like, you got to fight one of us. Like, well, you guys look weak. And then Bobby Lashley walks out with a big fake alien head on for the movie, and it's like, oh no, he's gonna kill me.
Well, would have been funnier for me if they put a side by side picture of Sheamus and Tony Chimmel, then I would have laughed.
No love for Tony Chimmel on this show. What we do have love for, though, is all the people who are hanging out with us and joining us today. Whether you're in the chat like Dylan Matthews or Roel Gonzalez, Killer Demons, Trish is lurking. Good to see you, Trish. Laura Rock hanging out, Blue Chew, Ethan Cruz, Tommy, Beer Money here as well, Bram Milligan. You know who else is here? Like I said, all the lurkers, all the people who are hanging out, not talking, unlike Tuck Graf or Kirk Cart Pankaro. I don't know how to say your name, Kirk Cart. Manish, Donnie, RJB, MDB, Fernando, Antonio Baker hanging out here as well. Cameron Bell, lots of folks here. Donnie G says, Jack, I'm not new. I just never watch live. I subscribe, 5-star like. I appreciate you, Donnie. That means the world to me.
Thank you.
But we also got Agent Genji's Tox Kazim. I see you every now and again. I think you're more of a Friday person, or maybe even a Tuesday person. I don't see you on Wednesday.
We don't need labels, Jack. We don't need labels.
Stalking you with the dog emoji. Always going to get a shout out from me. Boston Bike Patrol, Maria and Michael and Ricky. We did talk about the releases earlier on in the show. We're wishing them all the best. And King Kia hanging out as well. Lots of good stuff. Like, comment, share, subscribe. We're going to talk about this wrestling show now. Believe it or not, 24 and a half minutes in, we're going to get to SmackDown.
It's what you expect. Look, half the roster is in Europe. Like, they put on a show tonight. They put in the effort. We're in the build to Backlash. Like, it was fine.
I thought it was a great show.
It was fine. In fact,
because of that, Jimmy, you're going to get the first comments on this one. LA Knight and AJ Styles fight for a winner faces Cody Rhodes opportunity. Great chemistry between these two. Great match. Comes down to AJ Styles poking LA Knight in the eyeballs and hitting a phenomenal forearm. We get AJ versus Cody at Backlash. Jimmy, you're upset. What's wrong?
No, I'm not upset. I'm actually happy because I've been complaining for ages about the utilization of referees. You've heard me talk about it here many times and how to distract him properly where it actually looks like the heel takes advantage and manipulates the referee. Here, we saw Charles get not really bumped down, but a little smidge where he could just turn away and hold his face. We got the illegal eye poke. Boy, God forbid somebody do something illegal behind the referee's back and it doesn't take 4 hours to do it. And it was so quick and natural and it worked. And you know, like you said, Jack, these two working together had such a good flow, such good chemistry together. It didn't look too over choreographed, if that makes sense. It looked like a good fight when they've got some good moves in there that got the crowd going. Some of those false finish the people were biting on. It was a great opener. And the fact that they opened the show with this, not with a long promo, they went right into things. Overall, I thought it was really good and really well done.
Yeah, Joycey Collins says, of course, he had to cheat to win. And Jeff, I want to give a shout out. Jeff Goynon, I apologize if I'm getting the name wrong, but first time watching live.
Wow.
Appreciate you coming by. Jeff, make sure to hit the like button. And glad you're here. Glenn, I want your thoughts on this opening contest, but also, you're a music man. I want you to critically review AJ Styles' new music.
So do we know the real story? I know CFO broke up. Was there some balloon payment where they're like, oh, if you're still using our themes in the year 2024, you owe us a bajillion dollars? Like, what is with this concerted effort to get rid of some really good themes and replace them with, was it Def Rebel? It's not my cup of tea. In fact, I don't think it's anyone's cup. It's not even a cup of tea is what I'm saying. These new themes, they're really, really not good. And I get that they're like, oh, we want to amp something up. We want to do something different. But if you're going to change it, it has to be something better. It has to be changed for the better. Can't be a change for the worse. And WWE's at an all time high with celebs and crossovers and musicians. Like, why aren't we taking it back to like Ruthless Aggression, like late Attitude, early Ruthless Aggression? Let's get some collabs.
Yeah, let's get The Weeknd doing themes.
Yeah,
he does every other song.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. AJ, because AJ's music too was like one of the best songs.
Yes.
Like, it wasn't like they just got, it wasn't like they changed someone who's theme was kind of like, it's not that good or that noticeable. I mean, AJ had like a banger of a theme. They say Farmer Strength in it, and I say it out loud every time.
Yes. What, do you have a t-shirt? You got to make a t-shirt that says Farmer Strength, and you need to wear that and be in the front row and hold up to AJ. Do you think Jinder Mahal got himself fired or quit because they said, Jinder, we're replacing your music? And he was like, the hell you are. And because Jinder's theme is like top five.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I could imagine they're like, listen, AJ, we have a big push for you coming. Hey, I love that. That sounds great. Yeah, we're going to have you win and beat Roman Reigns and end his title reign. Awesome. That's incredible. We're also going to give you new theme music. No! You know what? I think I'm good with where I'm at, man. Maybe just have Cody do it. Have Cody end it. Okay, but we're still giving you music. No.
But like you guys said, his music was recognizable. The people know it. Now people are going to be, whose music is that? As soon as the music hits, it's, you have to look at the lighting board and see what name shows up to understand who's coming out. And you don't want that. You want that recognizable. You always knew when the glass broke, it was on. When you hit You Can't See Me, the gong, all that stuff. Everybody was, back in the day, in the Attitude Era, had recognizable music.
Glenn, there was I'll have to send it to you. There is a Twitter thread of it's the best and worst Twitter thread you'll ever see of them redoing everyone's theme as Def Rebel style. It's the best and worst thread I've ever seen in my life. But in any case, I'm very disappointed about this.
But here's my issue with LA Knight and AJ Styles. Great match, great heat between these two men. You can feel the rivalry between them, but they're seeing who's going to win to see who's going to lose. Cause there's like, it's not even plausible to think Cody is losing that championship at Backlash. So it's kind of silly. They could have it be anyone. And you'd be like, well, Cody's winning his first defense at a PLE.
Is AJ a good sacrificial lamb?
Sure, but also it tells you, I mean, it kind of underlines it, bolds it, and highlights it in yellow, because they wouldn't, you think, well, they wouldn't do that to LA Knight. Like, is there a chance? Is there a weird chance that LA Knight could win this? But by making it AJ Styles, you're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, like, I don't need to watch this PLE. I know what's happening.
No, understood. I understand exactly that point, because like you guys said, there's no way that in heck that anybody in the audience is going to believe that AJ has a chance of winning this match. They're going to put on a banger. There's no doubt about that. They'll have a good match, but it's kind of like, it wasn't the right time for LA Knight to be there to be the sacrificial lamb either, because it was that for Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia. Yeah. So, you know, it's not the time to do it yet. And I get it. You want to have him get a big win in his first title defense and before you move on to something more investing. Let's put it that way. No disrespect to AJ Styles, because we know what a phenomenal talent he is.
But literally. It's right there.
Yeah.
You don't want none. You don't want none.
Yeah, but it's just kind of like, this is, you know, you could still have an entertaining movie if you know how the movie's going to end. But yeah, there's no suspense about this.
They are going to have a great match. The match is going to be like one of those wrestling fans' dreams.
Absolutely.
So. Yeah. Where Cody went. I will just say this, Glenn, not to be totally on the other side, but it's like, and I've said this to you, Jack, I believe before as well. It's like watching a movie or reading a book based on a true story. You know what the outcome's going to be, but it's that story that they're going to tell to get to that finish. At the ending of the book or at the ending of the movie, that is paramount. If you tell a good story, people will get invested, even though they know the outcome.
Well, I'll tell you, I knew the ending to Titanic, but I didn't know that the character named Jack was going to get left out to drown in the icy water when there was plenty of room on the door. But I digress. Josie,
yeah, you knew in the movie Airplane that the plane wasn't going to crash.
Yes.
Right. But, well, I don't know, an airplane. I can't remember. I don't remember how that ended. I've seen it a million times.
Well, he was over Unger and I was underdone. So,
but by the way, Backlash is 2 weeks from tomorrow, so we've got one SmackDown, or we got two SmackDowns, two Raws, and we got a draft that needs to happen in between that. So, like, just I'm saying, set your expectations for how much story they're going to be able to tell between now and then.
Right,
but I'm sure it'll be great.
Well, speaking of stuff that wasn't necessarily a story, but it was very fun to see happen, Nick Aldis comes out and introduces Triple H, and they introduce new tag team championship belts. A-Town Down Under disrespects the boss. This leads to a fatal four-way match between the Street Profits, New Catch Republic, Legado del Fantasma, and AOP. Pretty darn good one, with Street Profits getting the win. Jimmy, you call it down the middle. You're someone who can pick one or the other. You don't try to ride the middle. You don't try to ride the fence. Which tag team belts look better, SmackDown or Raw?
As much as I like the ones on Monday night, these ones remind me so old school. It looks so good. I mean, who was it that had titles like that? Demolition? Didn't they look very similar to that? I like the old school feel of that one, of these ones, and being the SmackDown brand, you know, I will say I'm a little bit biased for the blue brand because of being there for so long. But at the same time, I do like the old school feel of these title belts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone in the chat, let us know what you think. And if you're watching later, leave in the comment, which brand has the better tag team championship belts? Well, Danny says, Jimmy, surely you must be kidding. I don't know if that's Danny, talking about the title or if that's talking about Airplane.
No, Danny, I'm not kidding. And stop calling me Shirley.
Yes. Ethan. Yep. Got the old school feel. Manish, love the belts. Glenn, thoughts on the tag team championship belts? Which one do you like them? Which brand has the better looking titles? And I want you to respond to this hot take I have. I'm going to turn my notifications off.
Oh,
I have never liked the design of any tag team championship belt I think I've ever seen in my life.
It is interesting. Now, what if the tag team championship belt was like two halves of a heart, like a broken locket, and when they put them together, it completed it?
You know what, Glenn? I would love that. And it's got to be a heart. It can't be something cool. It's a heart. And it says like
something. Yeah.
It says BE and then FRI and half an E on one side, and it says ST.
Yeah. No, you could even have it be two halves of a WWE logo. I want it to be like a split locket, and I want them to push them together to make it whole, and then they each have a half. I think that's their WWE. I think you need to redesign this and introduce a new belt at Backlash.
You know what would make that a really good business move too, Glenn?
Yeah, then you got to buy two.
You got to buy two. You can't just have one that says ST and then like whatever the other half of friends is.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Yeah. All these music references, you're going to make me break out into song pretty soon again. It might be another time for Cordera's karaoke here. So,
and is Ethan Cruz saying Pretty Deadly should do that? They should each have half of the heart belt and put that together.
You know what I say about that is yes, boy.
Yes.
Jimmy, something that was talked about a little bit on this. I want to see this happen. This is what I hope really happens. Grayson Waller kept talking about how he's undefeated at WrestleMania because he won. I think this was his first WrestleMania. I want him to get a WrestleMania streak and almost be like an anti-Undertaker where everyone knows he's not that good. And everyone knows someone could beat him. But somehow he keeps racking up wins, and he's just more and more obnoxious. And then when he finally loses, everyone would love it. But if he got like 10-0 or something at WrestleMania, and it just through sneaky or cheap or lame ways, I think that I feel like there's money on the table there, Jimmy.
Well, quite possibly. You have to keep hammering it home to the public, though. I don't know how long they'll be on board for it. And, you know, they won't buy into the fact that he's going to beat the Undertaker streak, because nobody will, as far as I'm concerned.
Not beat the streak. I'm just saying he should get one long enough that it becomes
but he could allude to relevant. It. He could allude to it.
Yeah. I'll do you one better. What if we get a Grayson Waller effect at every WrestleMania? He never gets a Mania match again, and then he says the undefeated WrestleMania streak continues.
I like that too. I guess I feel like if he talked it up, we'd all be waiting. He's going to lose this time. He's going to lose this time. And then have him then have him lose to someone who's a total underdog loser. Like if he faced someone who's like an Akira Tozawa and like, oh, he's not going to lose to Akira Tozawa. He's got a streak. And then that's the one that beats him. I was like, I don't know. Akira Tozawa to win. Street Profits get the win. They're going to have the first title shot. Glenn, after their win at Mania, this just feels like it makes the most sense.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. But do A-Town Down keep the titles against the Profits?
I think they have to. They just won them, right? Like, kind of like Cody.
Man, this should have been Pretty Deadly's opportunity. If you ever seen that was going to lose, Pretty Deadly. But I understand that they want to mix up the generations because A-Town Down Under is still pretty fresh to the main roster.
And they've got some good heat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that they're probably going to keep the titles for a while, I think.
Yeah.
Jimmy, I want your thoughts on the match, the Street Profits. And also, here's another hot take. I think Legado del Fantasma is the most underrated tag team in WWE right now.
Wow.
Really? I don't know if they're the most underrated. Maybe they need a little more airtime and let people get invested in them. So let's see them a little bit more so that people know what they have in that team. Right now, for me, the team that really needs to shine and get the spotlight a little more are the Creed brothers. Those guys impressed me very much. They weren't obviously there tonight, but... as far as who this match goes, I thought the right team won for the direction they're going in. The Street Profits don't need the titles. Those guys are both talented. And you can see singles futures in store for both of those guys, not just for Ford. But both guys can do it. So you never know. But I know A-Town Down Under, I think, retains come the pay-per-view, and it's the right call for now.
Yeah. Final Testament, man.
You mean AOP?
Yes, and the Final Testament. Just when's this going to take off, this experiment, except on NXT?
Well, I was going to say it's NXT. Yeah. I think that's where it's happening.
They need to dominate like big time and just run over everyone and have that old heel Road Warrior feel.
I think they're going to do that on NXT and sort of get their momentum going and then come up with some momentum. Because I felt like they struggled getting that momentum against Street Profits and Lashley. Because I think they're a team that definitely needs that. Like they need to steamroll guys, and you're not going to steamroll Lashley and the Street Profits. I think they came into too competitive of a situation as opposed to being able to just flatten people. And I think that you know what I mean, if that makes sense. Like, we need to see them flatten people for like 3 months before the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley.
Okay.
Is my hindsight 2020. I've never done this before in my life booking. Donnie G in the super chat says Glenn best brain, Jack best hair, Jimmy best ref. I feel like all we need is Dorothy and Toto. We're basically like the Scarecrow and the Tin Man and the Lion. I guess I'd be the Cowardly
Lion. By the way, Jack,
Lion.
If you do want the pencil, I have an extra one handy if you need it.
So. You don't want me to be at the pencil. I'd be the worst booker. I'd be giggling backstage and everybody like, Jack, this is the worst show we've ever seen. Like, this is great. we got the new bloodline, as I'm calling them. Solo is now leading the charge and introduces Tonga to Heyman. Throughout the night, they go looking for Kevin Owens. He's not around, so they go to the ring. They get We Want Roman chants, and Solo gets the Dom Mysterio treatment where he can't even talk. Tonga arrives the bloodied Kevin Owens. KO tries to fight back, but ends up getting beat up even more. Paul Heyman is concerned as Nick Aldis says, look, there was a car wreck in the parking lot. You can't be doing this kind of stuff, Paul Heyman. You got to sort this out or I will. Glenn, I know you are an expert of NXT, so let me, you tell me, getting hit by a car, vehicular homicide, getting off kind of light for a WWE parking lot, no?
According to Solo, Tama Tonga is a marriage and family therapist. So, you know, as an MFT, I think his methods might be a little controversial, a little unorthodox, but we just need to roll with it.
Marriage and family therapist. Do we know what MFT is supposed to stand for? I feel very out of touch.
No, I Googled it, and marriage and family therapist was the first thing that came up.
So go with it.
He's Solo's marriage and family therapist.
That's why Solo brought me. He's like, clearly our family is having issues. So I brought in a therapist.
Yes.
And at Backlash, we will talk about our feelings.
That's almost like The Godfather. We'll bring in the family therapist, Clemenza.
it's an interesting transition, Glenn. I want to go back to you one more time. They're in a tough spot because I feel like they're doing everything right here. But at the same time, no one's going to be Roman Reigns. And so it's kind of an uphill climb to make this feel as big as what they had before, no?
This is, and I called this, you know, sometimes I just pull things out of thin air and then they come true. But I said, this is going to be like when they did DX 2.0 after HBK was gone. And it was like, now we've got the new team, you know? Mm-hmm. This is the bloodline, the next generation. And good on Solo that he's in this position. But as we're seeing, the crowd is not. What I'm saying is they need a Mr. Ass to really bring this to the next level.
They need a song, too. Like, I'm an ass man. Can we say that on the show? I don't know. That song,
you remember,
that song was a banger, though. I had that on the CD. I was listening to that. Yeah.
Too late. You did it already.
Yeah. But was Triple H getting HBK chants when he introduced the replacements?
Yeah. Yeah. But it worked out.
Yeah. So,
love to hug him. I love to kiss him. Such a good song.
Yeah.
Jimmy. Wouldn't it be amazing? Wait a second. Wouldn't it just be amazing if next week Solo Sikoa introduces Road Dogg and Sean Waltman?
Oh,
like,
my
we
goodness.
Got new bloodline.
Oh, my goodness.
So, Jimmy, I'm going to ask you the scorcher question of the night.
Uh-oh.
You complain about something on AEW all the time. I got to hold your feet to the fire. I've got to make sure it's called down the middle. Tama Tonga shows up. I don't really recall a video explaining who he is.
I know.
Did they mess up?
I think a little bit. They should have left it more of a mystery because, yes, we know who Tama Tonga is and his background in New Japan, but that majority of the WWE audience does not know. Who is this person who has joined Solo Sikoa in taking down Jimmy Uso? Who is this guy that seems to be the henchman for Solo, who, like, he needs one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's doing his dirty work. That, leave it a mystery and then finally reveal who it is and his background and you know, the son of Haku and that sort of stuff. Let it marinate. Let people try and think about it. I know everybody on the internet who the internet wrestling fans know exactly who he is, but
right.
Play up that mystery a little bit more. Like, you don't know who he is. I would have liked that a little better.
I feel like I'm going to be the biased sounding one here. I feel like it was fine with the way it's been presented, but look, I know there's going to be people who are like, how come they never talk about this? I got to bring it up. That's part of how the show goes. Matt Haladio, I don't know how to say your last name, Matt. I apologize. Says, super chat. I swear they always do parking lot angles in Pittsburgh Arena parking lot.
Have you ever tried to park your car in that Pittsburgh Arena parking lot? My goodness.
Is it bad?
It's tight. Let's put it that way. It is tight.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, make your lines wider. Give people more space. That's what's going on.
Thank goodness it wasn't Justin Labar's car.
Oh,
that we
yeah.
know of.
But
yeah,
it wasn't
Labar,
weird how they shot that. Okay, so a couple things. So Kevin Owens with the fake blood, that had to have been fake. Like, it would have been idiotic to actually bust him open. Plus, you could see it was controlled. He wasn't gushing. So the idea was Tama Tonga attacked him, hit him in the parking lot. But it was weird when they went to the parking lot and showed that, like, it's weird how it was in the background, the car crash shot. Nick Aldis was in the foreground. Like, yeah, given the new era and enhanced production, that was a very sloppy way they transitioned to that, did not really showcase the practical stunt because they legit crashed two cars.
Mm-hmm. I think, because, yeah, I thought that when they first showed up for a while, I was like, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
He's like, what is this? Right. And then he was like, oh my God, oh my God. I'm like, what? And it just looks like they're showing these like an empty space in the park. I'm like, what's wrong? Maybe, and then eventually they show the crash. I'm like, oh, that's,
maybe that was what they were hoping for, that big, oh, that's what they're talking about moment that didn't kind of transpire that way with the audience. And by the way, Glenn, that's Sports Entertainment Blood.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I was trying to think, because we get so used to people, you know, blading or being busted open the hard way. I'm trying to think when the last time we saw, like, legit, outside of a Firefly Funhouse sort of thing, when's the last time we saw legit fake blood, as opposed to just going all natural. I feel like it's been a while.
Yeah, I don't recall.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I can't really, I'm very bad at keeping track of that kind of, if you say that, the first thing I think of is Becky Lynch breaking her nose, but that's gotta have been
no,
a
but
time
that was real
for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying when was the last time we had fake blood?
Yeah. Outside of like a Bray Wyatt horror sort of setting. Like,
yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. That's all. Just asking the questions, trying to still figure out what MFT means.
My dad, everything on the show is fake. So,
according to Urban Dictionary, MFT could stand for monogamous fun time.
I saw someone on Twitter. I think it was Righteous Reg. I could be wrong though. I try to credit whenever I can. Said it stands for Mother F Tonga.
True. Oh, it's true. Someone's saying.
Oh. Okay. So yeah. My mother, I can't swear, mother F true. Is that, am I getting away with it?
Everyone in the chat, give us your best definition of MFT. My first tambourine, you know, I mean, who knows? Give us in the chat. I don't know.
Donnie G with the super chat says, I live in a great wrestling area, Auburn, New York, home of Mark Jindrak. I'm in between Syracuse and Rochester. Shout out to Finger Lakes.
Ah.
Every time I hear the word Finger Lakes, I remember that episode of The Office.
Yes.
He mentioned it like 100 times. Which one was it? Was it Ray Romano who kept talking about it?
Yeah.
No, it was Jim Carrey, I think.
Was it Carrey?
Was it Carrey? Now I'm confused.
It may have been Jim Carrey. Yeah, you're right. It may have been him. But either way. But yeah, a lot of good wrestling in New York.
Not to bring it back to what we were talking about, but the one thing I loved about that whole segment was Paul Heyman is so brilliant at getting his guys over, the guys that he is associated with. And that's what he's doing with Solo. Solo is more believable now because of Paul Heyman, not just because Solo's elevated his game. I like the look in the suit, made him look different, made him look mafioso, so to speak. But Paul Heyman is a guy that is helping elevate the people around him, and that's what he's brilliant at.
Do you think that they're, Jimmy, that they're putting Solo in a tough spot, trying to basically fill the shoes of someone like a Roman Reigns? Because I don't know if there's anyone who could fill those shoes that in that role without it feeling a little bit like, oh, like this, you're not Roman Reigns.
Right. You're right. It is a tough spot for Solo, but it would have been a tough spot for anybody to put him in that spot because Roman Reigns is so, such an incredible character and so well respected, even though he was a heel that entire time. And you saw what happened. All it took was one little thing and the fans started chanting, "We want Roman."
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a huge baby face in the works. Take your time, let it marinate. Don't bring Roman back for a while, because when he does come back and that music hits, the place will erupt.
Glenn, this is a new era. And if you didn't know that, they told
Triple
you that multiple times. It's a Triple H era. New era. Everything's different. Change is on the mind, unless you're in the LWO and Legado del Fantasma, because we got Santos Escobar versus Carlito. Glenn, when is this going to end? I feel like they've been fighting each other for 1,000 years.
It's kind of weird at this point. And it's like, I don't want to say it's making me uncomfortable, but it's kind of weird.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, we get like, it's like at some point, what are we still fighting about?
Yeah, it's this has gone on too long. That's all. I mean, I understand that these guys, look, let me just say first and foremost, great thing that they're on TV, right? Like, yeah, that's always a win, and I want to support talent. I want to say, you know, any storyline or gimmick that gets you on TV each week is a good thing. And it's not just them, because they got their crews with them, and that's a big deal. It helps. But got to also keep it fresh, because the problem is you do this and then you run into the ground and then you fail to get an audience. And then all of a sudden you're not on TV anymore because they like overused you. Mm-hmm. So this was fine, but please let's change it up a little bit. They can wrestle some other factions.
Yeah. I feel like this is where, if you're just trying to get Santos a win, cause I think Jimmy Santos is a star. I'm a huge Santos Escobar fan. If you're just trying to get him wins, there's a lot of people he can get wins over. And look, I want Carlito to be on TV too. I like Carlito, but I'm at the point where they've gone back and forth so many times now. I don't really care who wins doesn't have any weight, because they trade wins back and forth every week.
No, it feels that way. And especially with a guy like Carlito, that guy is already a made man. You don't have to give him a win, and he's there to elevate others. Because he's a familiar face. Fans know him from the past. At least we hope they do anyways. But it seems like overkill. Didn't they have just a couple of weeks ago to have that, death match kind of rules or whatever it was called, you know, where anything goes and that sort of thing. Usually that's something that ends a rivalry, isn't it? So why continue it?
I mean, yeah, they had a match at Mania. Well, I mean, not Carlito, but it was LWO versus Legado. Mm-hmm. Legado, as I always remember Bron Breakker saying it. But I don't know. There's not really much to take from this. I'm over it. I'm ready for them to go their separate ways.
Yes.
Like Journey.
You know what the biggest, but sorry, I'll let the sidetrack happen here. Don't Stop Believing is such a big and incredible and amazing song that it hides so many other great Journey songs, like Separate Ways. True.
What about
it overshadows them, man? It's such a bummer.
Well, you talk about Journey. That was the perfect song that they could have had for the Cody celebration. Who's Crying Now?
Oh, there you go.
Do you remember, I did a little karaoke for Jack and Justin, didn't I?
There you go.
I altered the words a little bit to fit the occasion, but.
So we get to the end. Naomi versus Bayley. They're cutting promos in the luxury boxes. Damage Control and Bianca and Jader are getting feisty with each other. Story of the match is they're two friends. This is the first opportunity for Naomi in years. Bayley isn't losing her title just yet. We get a good matchup that ends with Tiffany Stratton attacking both women. Jimmy, how'd you feel about this one?
No, I liked the match. I thought they told a great story, and the finish kind of threw me a little bit off. You know how everybody is. They don't like the DQ finish, but I get where they're going with this, especially in a situation like this where you got two baby faces and Naomi hasn't had a significant win in a long time. And this kind of saves her from eating the loss.
Yeah.
So I get exactly why they did it. And Tiffany Stratton looks like she's a player, and she looks like a legitimate threat coming after this match. So I think they accomplished their goals in this one.
Yeah, Glenn, I think this is one that, not the most exciting way to end the match, to Jimmy's point. I wasn't like blown away by this, but I feel like I get where they're going with it. So I give it a pass. I'm a big Tiffany Stratton fan, so I also like seeing her in this kind of top position. What say you?
I think this was a perfect finish, and I think that this continues the character of Tiffany Stratton in a really organic way, to have her be the spoiler here. Protects Bayley, protects Naomi. Like, this is great. But that being said, I think, you know, the money feud is actually Naomi versus Tiffany, not Tiffany versus Bayley. Bayley still got business with Damage Control. And by the way, I love how they had Damage Control. They had Jade up there watching the main event. I love how they presented this.
Yeah, I feel like having everyone watching a match always makes it feel like it's a bigger deal. And so the fact that they were all up there made it feel like a bigger deal. Jimmy, I do kind of wish, I get logistically why it was the way that it was, but I don't like when they have the two boxes right next to each other, kind of like what they did with Roman and Seth a few months back. Because that makes me feel like if these guys want to fight each other, they're right next to each other, you know, as opposed to if they were separated by even a little bit. But like, I don't know. I get logistically why it is. I just kind of wish in a perfect world they were separated a little bit more.
No, I get it. And then you talked about Roman and Seth. The way they shot that, it didn't seem like they were in boxes right next to each other. They almost felt like they were on opposite sides, because it felt like when Cody was pointing to Roman after the Royal Rumble, Seth was kind of looked like he was in a different box altogether, separate from that. So it was almost pointing to the opposite side of the arena. And that might have been a nicer feel, but at the same time, it gave an opportunity to make Jade look intimidating to the to Damage Control. She looked like a star. The way they're treating her right now, she looks like $1 million. And what I also like is they're taking their time with her and letting people get to know who she is before she's had her moments in the ring where she's dominated, and that's good, but don't overdo it. And that's what I think I like about this, is they're limiting her in-ring time so that when you do see her, you want to see her.
Yeah.
Yes.
All of this was great. This was a phenomenal main event.
I thought considering so many people are in Europe this year at this right now, I thought this was a pretty good episode. I feel like it did a lot of business as far as telling us where we're going, especially with the draft coming up. I do feel like, and this is me just being kind of a nerd, I guess, like, I wish in a perfect world, I feel like in a perfect world, you would go WrestleMania, Raw after Mania, the big show, and then you kind of build Backlash. I always feel like the whole point, the reason they call it Backlash, is it's like this is the repercussions for what happened at Mania. I wish the draft was that Monday after Backlash. I feel like that makes the most sense. Yes. You go through Backlash and then you start anew, as opposed to the draft right before Backlash, and there's overlap, but there's people getting paid a lot more money than me making that decision, so I'm sure they know better than I do. But that's what I'd like, the draft after Backlash. I feel like Backlash should be, this is the repercussions for what you've done at WrestleMania.
Now I have a question for both of you. Since the draft is before Backlash, do you flip-flop champions and put Cody back on Raw and have Damian Priest go over to SmackDown?
I don't know. I think it kind of just depends on how the draft shakes out, really. Because if you flip flop them and then you switch all the major players, then you've got the same show. You know what I mean?
SmackDown's the bigger show ratings wise, so I think they want Cody there until Raw goes to Netflix.
Right.
And then Cody will go back to Raw. Yeah,
because technically speaking, Raw is still their flagship program. So
technically
speaking.
Do you think Triple H still feels that way?
I just think he's,
or do you think he's just like looking beyond that now, because he's definitely got that different mindset?
I think he's one of the guys who does have that different mindset, and he's trying to make it a level playing field for all brands. He's even trying to elevate NXT. Obviously they won't be as on the same platform as Raw and SmackDown, but he is trying to elevate them and feel like a third brand as opposed to the quote unquote minor leagues.
Cody Rhodes to NXT. Jimmy Cordero's confirmed it.
I can't wait till that hits the sheets.
As confirmed by future Hall of Famer Jimmy Cordero, Cody Rhodes will and The Rock are getting drafted to NXT.
That'd be amazing. NXT was so good this week.
NXT is pretty consistent. It's a pretty good show.
It is. It's the best. It's the best wrestling show week in and week out. I will watch NXT every week. It's always entertaining.
Hopefully you review it for Wrestling Inc. every week.
I know. And it's the high point of my week. Although this week, you know what I did?
I haven't watched NXT in years, but I review it every week.
Wouldn't that be amazing? I think that sometimes I'm like, I could just read the recap. I could fake it. No, let me tell you, 8 years I've been doing this, I've never once faked it on this podcast. Like, I might get up and use the bathroom, I might be cooking something, I might miss a segment now and again. But no, I've never, I've fantasized about it before, because look, here's something people don't know about me. I'm always looking for shortcuts in life, ways to get more done in less time. And I've been like, oh, it'd be great if I could just show up and read the recap. But no, what you're getting here is experiential opinions from someone. Look at it. Jimmy's taking notes. You guys are trying to make me look bad. You guys taking notes. I just keep it all up here.
I do for the most part, but I just write down notes to remind myself who the actual participants were. That's all.
Yes. Sometimes the worst is when I will be watching and I'll have a funny quip and I tweet it out. And then I open up my own Twitter feed during the show and I'm just like reading aloud things I already tweeted because I'm like, oh, this was good. I should say this.
I repeat my tweets all the time on the show. No shame.
Yeah, why not?
This was good. NXT also high point. You know what I did this week? So everybody this week wants WNBA tickets. Demand is at an all-time high. Mm-hmm. After the draft, the Las Vegas Aces, the women's WNBA team here, they sell out pretty well because they're back-to-back WNBA champions. Now after the draft, like if you want seats to any game, it's the nosebleeds or secondary market. If you want to see them when the Indiana Fever's in town, you're going to be paying hundreds of dollars for scalped nosebleed tickets to see Caitlin Clark play the Aces. Like, demand's crazy. So what we did instead this week, we went and saw the Vegas Thrill, which is professional women's volleyball. They play that at the same stadium the Silver Knights play at, the same arena. And that was awesome. I've never been to a professional volleyball game before. That was so exciting, so tense, so much back and forth. We're going to go again this weekend because we had such a good time. So we're now Vegas Thrill fans. That's our new thing.
Nice.
Vegas Thrill. What a great name.
Which is great on merch, right? You get a shirt or a hat that says Vegas Thrill.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Glenn, let's wrap this up. Final thoughts on the show. Where can we find you online? And just for funsies, who was your MVP tonight? Who is the wrestler that stood out the most to you?
Well, MVP wasn't on the show, Jack. You'd know that if you actually watched and paid attention.
I just looked at the notes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, let's see tonight. Who was the MVP tonight? I have to say Tiffany Stratton maximized her minutes with what she did tonight. I thought that was perfect. Great reaction from the crowd. She's always a high point, but no, I thought there was a lot to really like on tonight's show. It was good. Bummer with LA Knight losing, 'cause the crowd is so behind him. Tama Tonga, of course, is my MFT, but my MVP tonight would be Tiffany Stratton. We're going to find out what that means. And then somehow it's going to be horrible that we're repeating that and making fun of it, I'm sure. I thought it was good. People could find me online at Glenn Rubenstein, and you can find me at a Vegas Thrill game this weekend, cheering them on.
Go support your Las Vegas Thrill. Jimmy, where can we find you online? Overall thoughts on the show, and who was your MVP? And everyone in the chat, let me know who your MVP was. I think Tutgraf and I are on the same page.
No, I thought the show tonight was solid. Like you said, with half the roster over in Europe doing their thing, they put on a great performance tonight. A lot of the talent was bang on. You know, there were some little valleys that go along with the peaks. It happens in every show. You can't help that. But for me, my MVP has to be, because I thought tonight he broke out big time and really showed a lot more of himself, and he's starting to elevate his game as Solo Sikoa. I thought he's starting to emerge and starting to be that believable, because as they say, this is where you make your money, and those facials, he's scary, dude. He's looking really scary. So I like that. And co-MVP Paul Heyman, because like I said earlier, he's the guy who elevates them all. And as far as we can find me, you can find me here on Monday nights, usually with Triple J, or Wednesday nights doing the AEW Dynamite review. By the way, Chuck's in the mail from Stanford for tonight. Thank you very much. you know, you can catch me on the Reffing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, who holds the glue together.
Yeah.
This week we had legendary WWE Hall of Famer Teddy Long. Yeah, player. And better listen to it, or else he'll make you go one-on-one with The Undertaker. And you don't want that. And of course, my Ref and Rants from Monday to Fridays on all my social media platforms, giving a little critique here and there, just little tweaks that I think would help, you know.
Absolutely. All good stuff to check out. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I agree with, like I said, a lot of folks in the chat. Gigi says Heyman was the MVP. Alicia agrees, as well as Tut Graf. We got AJ Styles as well. By Donnie G saying, hey, he's going to face Cody. He's the MVP. I go Paul Heyman. I think that his reactions add such weight to everything he does. But again, you find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I will be calling the action for Santino Bros Fight Night 12 on Sunday. Check that out on Fight TV. Also, make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. across all social media as well to get your wrestling news. And be sure to check it out, the Raw after show after Raw on Monday. That does it for us. And I am hitting the button that says end stream.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.